morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. 90 and 30% chance of rain pretty much all week. That's a very consistent beginning of September for us. Joining us by phone, as he does every Tuesday at about this time, Chip Simmons, Chief Deputy for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Anything happen? How was Labor Day? Busy? Quiet? Anything happen over the weekend we had to talk about?
It was busy because of a holiday weekend, a long weekend. We did have a drive-by shooting on the 6th, which was Sunday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the area of Ellen Young Streets. We had two victims, gunshot wounds to the leg. They could not provide any information on the suspects. However, one of the people that actually drove one of the victims to the hospital, Tyrese Albritton, was arrested for carrying concealed firearm. He had a firearm on him whenever we talked to him at the hospital. So we had two individuals shot in the leg, and then we made an arrest of a third person for carrying concealed firearm. And we also had a
he wasn't the cab driver, so to speak. I mean, he was the guy that drove the wounded men to the hospital. But he had a concealed weapon, and he wound up getting arrested for that. But he was not involved in the shooting in any way.
Well, he was not involved. He's not the suspect in the shooting.
Okay.
And he was not shot in the shooting. But he apparently was with the ones that were shot in the leg. And then he took one of them to the hospital. When we got there, we obviously talked to everyone in the area. Everyone has any information. And during that conversation, we discovered that he had a concealed weapon. And so he was charged with that.
Can I ask a silly question? How did you find out he had a concealed weapon? Do you see it?
Well, I don't have the information.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, what we can do is we can do a protective search, a protective pat-down, or they could just tell us. I don't have the information exactly how we found out.
Okay.
But it certainly was discovered that he had a firearm and he was arrested accordingly.
Wow. I'm trying to wrap my brain around it, but okay, go ahead. I kind of interrupted you. You were in the middle of saying something else.
Yeah, I was just going to let you know that we also had an unfortunate incident, and we don't usually talk about these things because they're really sad to report. But we did have a 6-year-old boy that drowned in a home swimming pool on Alexander Drive. Again, we only mention this because it is summertime. A lot of people are spending time in the pool, and with the virus, a lot more people are spending time, entertainment-type time, at home and in the pools. And we just wanted to use it as a reminder to, you know, pay attention to what's going on around your pool. It only takes a second for a child to wander, whether it's a child that lives there or a neighbor's child. You know, a pool looks awful inviting when it's 95 degrees outside, and, you know, we just want to remind everyone to be very careful. Especially with young children that can't swim.
Yeah, I mean, a 6-year-old, I would hope, would have some swimming skill, but maybe they don't. And, you're exactly right, too, when you say it happens fast. When my oldest son was an infant, I mean, he was a toddler, okay? I mean, he was one and a half, something like that. And we were out at a friend's, and I was 6 feet away from him. And he fell into a pool. And I ran to grab him. My friend beat me to it, got in the pool with him and grabbed him out. I mean, he was safe, but it was terrifying how fast it can happen, and especially for young kids who, you know, have no business being right next to a pool. Man, good God, what a horrible thing. So keep your kids safe while they're around the pools. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, you know, it's been in the news a lot, this story about this man who they arrested because he was high on PCP and naked and acting crazy and all that. And they used one of these, what they called a spit hood or a spit bag, to put over him because he was spitting at the police and telling them he had COVID. It's my understanding that those are not all that widely used, maybe not all that widely used anymore. Does the Escambia County Sheriff's Office use those?
No, well, we do not. I know that typically it's a corrections. You know, they use it in jails and that sort of thing whenever people decide to do a lot of spitting. We do not have the you know, the hoods, and we, so I don't, the 3.5 years that I've been here. In fact, in the 35 years I've been in law enforcement, I've never seen a spit hood applied to anyone on out in the field.
So, I mean, it's not really used. What do you do? I mean, what do you do when somebody's behaving like that?
Well, again, I think you learned. No one wants anyone to spit on them, certainly right. not in the virus age or anything like that. And so what you just have to do is you have to try to secure the individual as best you can, to try to put them face their head away from you. And then just, obviously in situations where people are in a mental distress type situation, you can call rescue or EMS, the ambulance crew, and they can get there, and they may have them. I don't know. But you just deal with it. And law enforcement, we don't always have, the perfect answer for things. We have to adapt. We have to use our common sense, and we approach things from a, humane standpoint and do what we can to make sure that the job is done in a safe and humane way as possible.
Obviously, I talk to a lot of you, a lot of law enforcement, good friends with you. I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of what you do as a civilian, and have done a couple ride-alongs. And I still am amazed when I think about some of the situations that you just have to deal with on a routine basis and how messy and ugly and unpleasant the whole thing is. How often do you guys get somebody that's out of training and you take them out in the field for their training, their in-field training, and they just, a day on the job, and they're like, no, I can't do this.
Luckily it's not too often. We try to weed them out. And I say weed them out. We pretty much let them know what the job is going to be like. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so important about having the cadet program. So people, younger type applicants, 18 to 21, can get an idea for what the job is. We have had individuals, I can think of one, that has just come back from tours overseas, over in the Middle East. And they come to work for us, and after a couple of weeks, they come to us and they say, "Hey, I can't do this. This is every day. Every day you get treated in a not so favorable manner by some people, and it's just too much, And it's so it does happen. But again, I think that whenever we have the pre-employment screening, and then we have they go through rookie school, they get a pretty good idea. We have, like you said, ride-alongs. And people understand what the job is, and sometimes it's difficult, and many times it's, as I mentioned before, it can be very intimate, it can be ugly. We just should be thankful that we have people, men and women, young and old, that are still willing to do this job.
It kind of, a follow-up to that is, sometimes we do talk about the awful things that happen for sheriff's deputies and police, but I mean, you guys also have days that amazing things happen and rewarding things and encounters with citizens, right, where they're just grateful that you were there to help them. I mean, I'm not wrong in thinking that also happens, right?
Yeah, and I want to be careful. Sometimes when we get out and we talk to people, and we always talk about some of the negativity. But I would say the majority of the time, people do understand and people do appreciate the job that we do. The majority of the time, people call us, and they're very thankful for our response. They're thankful for our actions. Friday a week ago was a perfect example that the residents in that area off of Softy Pines were extremely thankful for what took place, and the yeah. deputies that arrived there, and even though they were shot at with a hunting rifle, they still did the job. And a lot of times I'm out at the scene and I'm looking at the men and women, not just the sheriff's office, but the people that came and helped us. The Pensacola Police Department, the federal authorities, and that sort of thing, and I you can't help but be proud of the fact that these are the people that are representing Escambia County, these are the people that are representing really our country, and they're doing this job, and they're going home to their own families.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think by and large the citizens of Escambia County understand what we go through and how difficult the job is. I can tell you that I rarely go to lunch or dinner now. When if I'm wearing a uniform and people don't come up to me and say how thankful they are for us. So I just want to make sure that I relay that to the deputies that work for us, that they are appreciated. And despite what they hear on occasion, it's a very good it's a good job, and it's a rewarding job.
Hey, last thing I want to ask you about, and I have no idea how you're going to answer this, but I am curious. I saw this story about a kid in Colorado who was on a Zoom meeting with his class. He flashes a toy gun on the screen, neon green with an orange tip toy gun. They call the law enforcement, and the cops show up at his door, investigate. He winds up getting suspended for 5 days. If the school calls you and says, somebody flashed a gun on the screen, we think it's a toy, but we're not sure, what are you doing?
Well, if the school calls us and they have a concern about a student, whether it is a Zoom call or it is you know, in the classroom, we respond. A lot of times we don't get to choose on what calls we go to, and it's you know, it's hard to determine what's right and wrong, because it could be a situation where a child is troubled, a child needs someone to talk to, a child is in some sort of distress. We don't mind going and knocking on a door, just making sure everything's okay. We do these types of welfare checks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, people are okay. People just don't want to be the one that don't call. And you know, because, again, there's a lot of times you can point to situations that have, I'll say, festered and then gotten to a point where someone has taken their own life, or someone has threatened or has taken someone else's life. And people say, well, why didn't you call? Well, why didn't you get someone involved? I like to think that there are counselors that can be involved in that type of situation, but when we get a call, we'll respond, and we'll try to see if things are okay.
And I assume that if you do a response to a situation like this and you find out that it's a toy gun, you're kind of done, right? I mean, that's kind of the end of the...
Oh, yeah, we absolutely are done, yeah.
All right,
you know, and as long as our concerns are alleviated, then
right.
Yes, we're absolutely done.
Right. Chip Simmons, he's the chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Chief, I appreciate what you're doing. I certainly appreciate the time you take to spend with us and explain the role of law enforcement in our community every week. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You bet. Take care.